So our hymnal just has three of those four stanzas, but the last one we sang is the fourth one that was alluded to there in the video. If you take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to spend just a few minutes of this evening and then give some time to prayer. I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the idea of freedom. July 4th is a time we call it sometimes Independence Day, and it's a time when we celebrate our country's freedom. And you know, that's not something to be taken lightly. I mean, in terms of nations and governments, the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans are really quite unique, very, very rare in the annals of history. And just the idea is that we have a freedom of speech and freedom of worship and the freedom to, frankly, move around without undue government interference, the freedom to keep and bear arms, the freedom from illegal search and seizure. I mean, those are things that we almost take for granted, but really are rare in many, many nations in the world today and throughout history. And so all that kind of is wrapped up in what we celebrate in our country on the 4th of July. I was reading a blog article earlier today. I'm not sure that's always a safe thing to do. But, you know, they were debating about the rightness of the Revolutionary War. In other words, you know, is it right for Christians, as it were, for Christian people to revolt against government, even bad government? And some said it was right, some said it wasn't right, some said it wasn't really a revolutionary war, it was really a war of resistance against tyranny. Some said that Britain had already cut off the colonies and had already severed the relationship before it ever started, and there were other views that were advanced. And whatever you think, and my intention is not to rehash that, boy, that is a Pandora's box that I would prefer not to open this evening. But one of the conclusions that was there that I appreciated was, you know, whatever you think about how we have gotten here, praise the Lord for the country we live in. You know, and praise God for the freedoms that we have, and really among the most cherished of those, the freedom to gather and worship as we do tonight. The freedom to stand out on the street and proclaim the gospel. And people may not like it, but you won't get arrested, at least not so far, okay? You know, so we have just a lot of freedoms in our country that we just take for granted because we've grown up with them, but they are to be cherished and they are to be appreciated. And, you know, we ought to use those freedoms to advance the cause of Christ. But my point tonight really is to address the fact that freedom really is much broader in scope than just the freedom from the tyranny of oppressive government. That's important, that's valuable, that is the essence of what we celebrate, but really there's a lot more to freedom than that. I mean, people talk about economic freedom, you know, the freedom to work, to provide for one's family. You know, that's the freedom from maybe feudalism and oppressive taxation. And frankly, in our nation today, that's the kind of freedom that people talk a lot about and they seem to really long for. And then there's the political freedom that is kind of connected with the idea of Independence Day and a representative government, the freedom to govern ourselves, the freedom to have a say, the consent of the oppressed, those kinds of things. There's intellectual freedom, the freedom to think for yourself without a government-mandated philosophy forced upon you, the freedom from, you know, the brainwashing of propaganda, the freedom to believe what we choose to believe. And in our case, I trust that's to believe what we find in the pages of Scripture. And really, there can never be political freedom apart from, you know, the freedom of people to really think in a free manner and to express those views. And then there's religious freedom, you know, the freedom to worship according to the dictates of one's conscience, the freedom from a state church, the freedom from government intrusion into the church and into religious matters. And, you know, this is a whole discussion unto itself, but, you know, the point of our nation is not the freedom from religion, as some would say, but it's the freedom to practice religion in the manner that we understand God to intend it to be. And so, you know, those are cherished freedoms. And all those things are great and wonderful things. But there is a freedom that's far more important than really all those put together, and that is what we might call spiritual freedom. You know, the freedom that comes from a saving relationship with Christ. And I want to read some familiar verses for us here in John chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 30 through 36. And here's what we read, what Jesus says here. He says, if the Son... Am I reading the right spot? He spake these words, many believed on Him. I got ahead of myself. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's in bondage to sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So we have those Jews there, and Jesus says to them, you know what? You know, there's freedom. There's freedom in the Son. And they said, what do you mean? We are free. You know, now, you could debate that historically as they were under the somewhat oppressive rule of Rome, but you know, these were freedom-hungry people. These were people that were rather defiant and claimed that they were free. They thought Jesus was talking about nationalistic freedom of the Jewish people. But that wasn't Jesus' point. You know, I would debate whether they were really free anyway, but that wasn't the point Jesus was making. He was saying, you know, there's a freedom that is more important than freedom from the tyranny of Rome. There's freedom that is more important than freedom from taxation without representation. You know, there's freedom that's more important from the great and rich freedoms that we enjoy in this country, and that is freedom from bondage to sin. You know, freedom from the stranglehold of the devil, if you will, upon the lives of one who doesn't know Christ. And Jesus says, you know what? He was offering that kind of freedom. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And folks, I would just encourage us, you know, as we relish the day tomorrow, as we celebrate, and appropriately so, and enjoy the freedoms of our country, let's realize, though, that really, in comparison, that's kind of a small thing, in comparison to the reality of the freedom that we have by a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to the dramatic political changes that came to Eastern Europe with the fall of communism. You know, we who lived here in the free world, some of you are young enough that you don't remember much of this, but some of us here are old enough to remember it vividly and well. And we would always think of all the great freedoms that we had, and we would have a lot of pity and sympathy on those who lived behind the Iron Curtain. And there was a writer named Philip Hook who traveled in Eastern Europe before the Berlin Wall came down, before the borders opened up. And he met some believers there, and he later made these observations. He said, I sat in the midst of some Eastern European young people and was thinking how fortunate I was to be an American and to be free. As I watched them and learned from them, I realized that they were more free than I. I was seeing freedom as being free to travel, freedom to own, freedom to say. While they had given up the hopes that the world offers materially, they had become free to be God's people. I discovered that in reality, they were far freer than I. And you know, folks, whatever circumstances bring, whatever happens in our country, sometimes we look at it and we don't like the trajectory, maybe. We don't like the direction things are going. And sometimes even Christian people can almost become undone and all their worries about politics and things of that nature. But the fact is, even under an oppressive government, even in bondage to physical slavery, even in a prison cell, someone who knows the Lord and their Savior has the most important kind of freedom of all. You know, the freedom to know Him, the freedom to love Him, the freedom to serve Him, the freedom to proclaim Him, you know, the freedom to know you have eternal life. And that, folks, is the greatest freedom of all. So I wouldn't discourage us from celebrating our freedoms as a country. But I would just, you know, remind us to keep that all in perspective. I mean, as much as we value the economic freedom that we have, the political freedom, the intellectual freedom, the religious freedom, how much more ought we rejoice in the freedom that we have in Christ? As Jesus says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time of year and for the opportunity to just rejoice in the freedoms that we have. But Lord, our circumstances are really not what makes whether we're free or not. The nation in which we live, the government that rules over us, these really are not the things that are the substance of life. People can be wealthy, they can have all kinds of rights and privileges and be lost and be in bondage to sin. People can be seated in a prison and yet enjoy the freedom of new life in Christ and the freedom of knowing they have eternal life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to always keep those things in right perspective, the right way of thinking. Lord, as we rub shoulders perhaps tomorrow, whether it's watching a fireworks display or at the store or in our neighborhoods, as we rub shoulders with others around us, some of whom perhaps do not know you as Savior, as we converse about just celebrating the freedoms we have as a country, might we also be quick to share with them the freedom that we have in Christ and that they too can enjoy. And Lord, might our priorities be right side up. And might our passions be properly oriented. We do thank you for our nation. We thank you for those who have suffered and died so that we might enjoy the rich freedoms that we have. We thank you for those who continue to serve and who continue to put their lives in harm's way in order to preserve these national freedoms. Lord, how much more grateful are we for one who suffered and died on a cross so that we might be eternally free, spiritually free, free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin, and one day when we enter into your presence, free even from the presence of sin in our lives. What a joyous thought. Might we rejoice in it today and every day. We ask your blessing as we spend a few moments now in prayer for our nation. Father, might we indeed have burdened hearts for those who govern us, for the state of affairs here. And yet, Father, we know that as the sun sets people free, they'll be free indeed. And we can pray for our nation, that you would open eyes, that you would open hearts, that you would give wisdom, that you would cause our nation to persevere as you tarry your coming in freedom, and the freedom to share the gospel, and the freedom to see the cause of Christ advanced. So bless in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a prayer sheet for you that was prepared by Brother Mark.